and the people that were more interested in just having young fun.
All right. Since I forgot and just started recording, this is a special episode of Freedom Fiends Live where Nima is being temporarily supplanted by Bad Quaker Ben Stone and his daughter Kai, who's still parking the car, and my Robin Quivers, my wife DJ. Hi, DJ.
Hi.
She's playing solitaire on a computer. You know, the fiends have been taking some abuse because I've been like getting to the point where I'm so good at putting on episodes that I'll be like authoring DVDs while I'm doing it, and then Nima will talk and he'll be like, Michael, hello? Oh, sorry, I'm authoring a DVD.
We multitasker.
I think that multitasking is the wave of the future, as old people tend to say about young people they don't understand. But Liberty people seem to be really good at it, in my experience.
Hey, can I start a podcast beef while we're at this?
Please do. I was going to ask if you had any.
You know, speaking of respectful people at Porkfest.
Who was not?
The Gary Johnson people were not, by going around in the middle of the night, or at least way, way in the wee early dark hours of the morning, and spamming everybody's vehicles with Gary Johnson material, including putting it on my table like if I was passing out Gary Johnson stuff. That's a good way to get, I mean, I'm not threatening anybody, but walking around somebody's camp late at night and messing with their stuff is a good way to get some lead planted deep in your body. But yeah. On top of that, it's kind of rude, and it's not really good camp etiquette. You know?
It's not very libertarian either, because you know it's not very respectful of property rights.
Because well, I kind of thought he was sort of libertarian. He's almost a libertarian.
Yeah. Libertarian light.
People want some people that aren't libertarians to be libertarians so bad that they'll make anyone a libertarian. I mean, there's a guy who's running a Libertarians for Romney site, a guy that used to work for Ron Paul and got fired, Eric Dondero. And a lot of libertarians say, you know, that that Barry Goldwater was libertarian. And I'm like, you know, the father of the Libertarian Party. And I'm like, you mean the guy that wanted to bomb Vietnam back to the Stone Age with a nuke?
Hey, Kai just joined us.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, Kai. Yeah. What's up?
Not much. We just had a frantic drive through Vermont and New Hampshire trying to get here.
Cool.
Welcome.
That's DJ, my wife, on the other line. On the other Hello. Mic.
And since Kai didn't hear it, I was just starting a pod beef with Gary Johnson supporters.
Oh yay, fun.
Yeah, we like pod beef.
Yeah, that was not exactly cool what they did. They put a sticker, like they put it into my car windshield underneath my windshield wiper, and I was sleeping in my car at the time, so that's kind of, you know, creepy for them to come looking around in cars where people are sleeping in them.
It's kind of dangerous and weird in a place where a lot of people are armed too, you know.
Yeah.
And again, like, I'm agreeing with Ben, like, you know, we're not threatening anybody, but you know, if I were sleeping in a vehicle most places and I heard somebody rustling with some part of the vehicle, yeah, I would jump up and have a gun in my hand. I wouldn't shoot him necessarily, but I would, you know, and I wouldn't necessarily point it at him, but I would be instantly awake, pumped with adrenaline, with a loaded gun, one in the chamber, going, who the fuck are you and what are you doing? You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, you do that around the house.
I do that around the house when the cats make noises at night.
And I might add, as a non-voting anarchist, it really, if you were looking at the Porkfest overall and you look at the vast majority of people there, the voting majority at Porkfest were Ron Paul people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so, you know, when you've got cars with Ron Paul stickers all over them and you walk up and literally lift the windshield wiper blade and stick a Gary Johnson sticker on the, you know, they didn't peel it off or anything, but they stick it right on the windshield like that. That's really rude under any circumstances.
It's littering.
Well, and the worst,
it's littering.
It is littering. Yeah. And the worst part about it is that they did this and then immediately packed up and left.
Yeah. That's the other thing. They left all their signs and everything in their, so they didn't even clean up their mess, you know, in their own space. And then they took off before anybody was awake to do anything about it.
Wow. So I got some more possible pod beef to invoke. Just a question. It's not really pod beef. I'm kind of joking, but you were interviewed on the Angel Clark show, and her first question was about voting, which I knew would incite some sort of response with you about, you know, I could hear your brain and it was saying, you still vote? That is so cute. I used to do that before you were born. Did you suggest that topic or did she?
No, that was actually her crew, her staff, I should say.
So the minarchists think like the anarchists, like, hey, let's start a pod beef.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stick around, y'all. We'll have more here in a moment with Ben Quaker, Kai Quaker. I don't know if it's Kai Quaker, Kai Vick, and Deborah Jean Dean and myself on Freedom Fiends Live. Did I get it all in? Yeah. Okay.
All right. Hi, I'm Nima Vadati from the Freedom Fiends.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Hazard check.
Yeah. That was, you'll hear that. It's the recording started thing. Well, I don't think we're
get 20,000 Liberty lovers to move to New Hampshire to have liberty.
Go ahead. You're not used to live radio, huh? You there?
Yeah.
What's up? What's up?
We were doing a mic check.
Okay. Freedom Fiends Live, a very special episode of Freedom Fiends Live with the Bad Quakers and the fiend behind the scene, Deborah Jean Dean. So you guys were talking about Texas and cockroaches. What'd you say,
yeah,
baby?
Yeah.
DJ.
Oh, baby. Just that, you know, they're bold. You open a drawer and they're sitting in the bowl of a spoon and look up at you like, yeah, what you want? I'm busy here. Go away. They're horrid.
Yes.
Yeah, so they'll just kind of wander off with, you know, food or small animals or anything. They'll just carry them off into their lairs.
Well, and the other thing I found, there was this bug that was referred to as an asp. And when I lived in Texas, I was a big fan of going barefoot. It was my hippie phase. And asps don't look like bugs. They're like little fuzzy, pale green things. They look really cute. You step on them and their bodies are coated in acid.
Yeah, the Bible talks about asps.
Yeah, those were snakes.
Yeah, oh,
but,
okay.
I thought, okay, everything here is trying to eat me, attack me, hurt me.
Or arrest me.
That too, because I lived in Texas during the, we don't lack your kind here, long-haired hippie pukes.
Yeah, and then when that got accepted, you became a purple-haired punk rocker, and they didn't
green,
like that either.
Thank you. Green hair.
Yeah, DJ actually saw the Sex Pistols at Randy's Rodeo in 1977?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, was captured by the evening news and spouted a little the socio-political significance of punk rock music. And
you know. I wish I could find a clip of that, but that probably doesn't exist. You were on the evening news talking socialist bullshit about the Sex Pistols and how great they were, weren't you?
I was just spinning crap for the TV news, you know.
So speaking of hippie phases, you went through a hippie phase. I think Kai is still in her hippie phase, huh?
I don't know if it's a phase, but sure.
I know. It's a good thing. Well, you know, you emerged from the cocoon as a hippie. It wasn't your cocoon like it is. I'm still a hippie. I'm a hippie who likes guns, but I'm not, you got a Ren fair. You got a Ren fair, right?
I travel with the fairs, and that's kind of, I keep saying I'm not going to do it anymore, and then I keep needing money, and there they are. And
oh, you make money doing them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We sell stuff.
What do you sell?
Anything anyone will pay me to sell.
Weapons?
I have not sold any weapons, but there are weapons booths there.
Do you know Mency?
No.
I don't think he's usually a vendor. Mency is a friend of mine from California who is the most diehard Ren Faire.
Some guy that DJ used to be part of his harem before stole her away.
If he's true. From California, he probably does the West Coast circuit, and I've never done any of those shows.
He does the West Coast, but he's originally from Maryland, and I know he used to travel extensively.
Okay.
He's one of those radio-controlled airplane gun guys. He does bench rest shooting and is incredibly good at it, but he also makes his own knives and swords and is a martial artist. And
to explain the radio controlled comment, he does bench rest, you know, minute of angle rifle shooting. You know, I mean, he can shoot the ass off a fly at 1,000 yards with all his equipment and the rifle sat down and everything. Boston Tea Party once said something about like, those people aren't really riflemen. When guns are outlawed, those people will quietly move over to radio controlled airplanes.
We had a drone out at Porkfest.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
No.
Yeah, it would, but it was a private pork fest. It's a
drone. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I picked up that it was a friendly, not a.
So before we get into that,
plus we kept getting buzzed by black helicopters.
We did that.
Really?
I don't. You know, no foil hat, but black helicopters went over several times.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of helicopters are black.
Right.
The true meaning of black helicopters is there's no markings on them whatsoever. Did you pull out some field glasses and see if that was the case?
There were no markings, but typically the mythical black helicopters are also silent.
Yeah, and it was definitely not silent.
Yeah, these were loud and low.
I mean, a lot of helicopters from a lot of different agencies and private organizations, helicopters are black. It's not, you know, Air Force Two, the president's helicopter, I think, is black, but I doubt that was flying over Porkfest.
Of course, because he is.
No, Bush's was too. Well, Clinton was the first black president, but
I kind of expected they were DEA looking for, you know, farmers.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you think I know there were some bears at Porkfest, right?
There's one legendary bear that
There's video. David Lee shot video. I watched it last night. It's two, you know, juvenile black bears going through a dumpster. It's at four, you know, at dawn. It's not you know, they didn't, it wasn't a grizzly running through slashing and eating. Yeah, but there is bears.
You sure that wasn't just a couple of guys after the bigger gayer dance party?
Yeah. I don't know. How'd that go? Did you go there?
I did not, but Ian, there has to be pictures floating around of Ian, and you have to see them.
I've got pictures on my cell phone. I haven't uploaded them yet, but yeah, I've got a, it was a pleasant outfit. It was pretty.
Also, Eddie Free talked to me on the phone yesterday. Oh, go ahead, and then I'll tell my Eddie Free story.
Yeah, I was talking to Michael Dean on the telephone, and Eddie Free walked up with a coconut bra that didn't fit or hide anything very well, and a wonderful skirt. So I put the phone on speakerphone and let the two talk.
Yeah, and he told me with a lisp that he was supporting his friends at the big gay dance party by dressing like that and speaking with a lisp. And I said, wouldn't that be kind of like wearing blackface to support your black friends? And he kind of hung up on me. Some more pod beef, some pod beef. So,
speaking of men in dresses, we were talking about Texas a little while ago. One thing I never understood when I was living and going to high school in Texas was the rabid homophobia, but the also equally rabid support for the, I can't even remember what they called this phenomenon, but all the football players would dress up as cheerleaders with massive balloon boobs and overdone makeup.
Yeah, what is that?
And the girls would play the cheerleaders would play football. And it was like, okay,
What's this all about?
I think it's kind of an excuse to maybe when you're holding something down for so long and you do get the excuse. I don't know. Maybe I'm
wrong. That's exactly what I thought it was. It's like, okay, you guys are all just closet weirdos, and I shouldn't say weirdos, but
there's a story I really like about Gary Floyd from the Dicks, which were a really great proto punk rock
Fiend
band.
Phone.
Back
Fiend
in Austin. Phone. Hang on, Fiend.
Fiend Phone. Fiend Phone. Calling.
Hang on.
Fiend Phone.
Sarah, hang on just a sec. So, yeah, Gary Floyd supposedly was walking across the campus at whatever the thing is there in Austin, the college. UT, when he was going there, and he walked up to like two tall blonde cheerleader Texan type chicks and screamed at them, "It's women like you that made me gay," and ran across the campus.
Well, then I guess I should also say that the university I went to, which I'll be prudent and not name, but it's a well-known private school in San Antonio, had an incredibly large gay population. Including in the administration.
So y'all stick around here. We got a fiend on the phone. And we're having a good show here today. So Kai, are those Ren Faires just big orgies? Let me know.
No, they're Damn. Mostly people going to Chinese buffets and then sleeping in tents and hanging out by campfires.
So we got Sarah Shaw on. Are you there, Sarah?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. I think we're going
to... My first experiment with Skype, so...
Cool, man. We're going to talk. We're going to talk with you through the break here and keep recording for the archives. So it'll go on the archives, but not on the live show. And then we're going to take other callers. How you doing?
I'm good. I've heard a couple of things that I wanted to comment on about Texas, especially because...
You're there.
Land that I love. It's powder puff football is where the football players dress up as cheerleaders. If you're still searching
for the term.
Yes, that's it.
There's a King of the Hill about that, actually. They eliminate that, and Hank Hill gets upset.
My favorite King of the Hill is called The Amazing Jesus, where Bobby does a magic show in his Bible study class, and he dresses up as a magician, and he's the amazing Jesus. Turns water into wine. And
my favorite King of the Hill episode is also a Jesus episode, but it's a different one. It's the one where Bobby joins a Christian skate punk church Bible study group. You see that one?
I like that one a lot.
Yeah, where he starts wearing like, you know, a black shirt that says Satan sucks, and he's wearing like a hoodie and a little watchman's cap, and you know, kind of looks punk for Bobby. And Hank comes in and says, "Bobby, you look like a burglar."
what is it that he says? You're just making rock uncool, and you're making I forget the exact phrase that he uses.
You're just making religion and rock and roll worse, or something like that.
Yeah.
There's another line I really like in King of the Hill. It's when Bobby starts listening to hip hop, and Hank says, "Bobby, rap music is just criminals yelling about their girlfriend's lady parts."
I find it funny with King of the Hill because I used to never be able to understand what that one guy says. And then Boomhauer. Boomhauer. And then I spent almost a year in Texas. And then all of a sudden I could understand him perfectly.
But he's drawling in Cajun half the time.
Yeah.
But when I moved to Texas from Los Angeles, what almost universally everyone told me to do was, "Would you slow down? I can't understand a thing you're saying." I was like, "Okay, if you promise to hurry up, because I'm growing old waiting for you to finish."
It was slightly disturbing moving to Texas, and we moved to Garland, Texas. Deep into the heart of the Mexican American culture there, where all of the billboards are in Spanish and all of the stores are in Spanish, and if you don't speak Spanish, you're not going to get served there.
Although, and the other thing I found very interesting and saw a lot in San Antonio of this more than in Houston was the rabid animosity between the Latino and the Black communities. Anyway, at that time, and this was, you know, I don't even want to say how long ago it was, but over 30 years. And it just struck me as weird because most of the whites, while they had kind of this veneer of racism, it wasn't the Deep South, gallows at the crossroads kind of racism. It was just, you know, you called a black person whatever you wanted to call them, but it didn't mean you felt any less respect, and they called you cracker, and you know, it was just the way it was. But
I've encountered that a lot with people in older generations in my family, where it's not a term of disrespect, that's just what they were raised calling people of certain colors. And it's not they necessarily don't like black people, it's just that's what they were raised calling them, and it's not a term of disrespect, it's just, you know, just like we would call somebody a black person, that's just what we call them.
Exactly. It was very matter of fact with no negative connotation implied. But I was amazed by the really, really heated conflicts between the Latinos and blacks.
I'm very PC. I call Nima is my N-word. Where's my N-word Nima today?
Moving to Texas.
Yeah.
Hey, are we back on?
Hey, are we back on? Let's see here. All right. Yeah, it's kind of informal here today. Sarah, I'm gonna thanks for calling, and call back soon, all right?
I will, definitely. Have a good day.
Rock and roll. Come on, Ben. Ben, you gotta run a live radio show like a well-oiled machine. If that means cutting someone off, you got to do it.
Oh, man.
All right. Yeah.
Brutal.
So we have a call-in number. Do you know the call-in number? I don't know my call-in number.
I don't know it.
Yeah, we're talking about if there really are orgies nonstop at Ren Faire. Are there? No.
No, there are not. Mostly it is hippies hanging out at campfires all during the week and, you know, either going to the beach if we're in Florida or hanging out, you know, climbing mountains and things during the week. And then on the weekends, dressing up in really funny clothing and trying to get people to buy stuff. And then going out for Chinese food afterwards. It's cool. Very boring.
So the live studio call-in number here at Freedom Fiends Live / Bad Quaker Podcast is 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171. Or Skype to username kittyfeet1.
Well, I should say, though, that if the reason that you go to Renaissance festivals is because you believe that we have massive orgies, then absolutely we have massive orgies, tons of drug use, and whatever else you want to believe that will make you come to the Ren Faire and spend lots of money.
Free guns. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
DJ, but there is some crossover with kink, right?
Absolutely. I was going to say it may have been just the group of people that I was associated with.
You're behind me and I can't even see you, and I heard you go, and I knew what you were going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Say it.
Just that, you know, a lot of time period relevant artifacts are well used in kink.
That's not true with all time sort of I don't know if reenactor is the word, but you know, living in a different time as
celebrants.
There you go. Like, I don't know if Ren Faire, I mean, if Civil War reenactors turn into a giant orgy, and do they?
I don't know. There's a huge difference between people think that the people who work at Ren Faire's, Rennies, they think that, you know, we live in a reenactment style, you know, our camps are all reenactment style. But the truth of the matter is we take the clothes off at the end of the day and we go back to our Coleman tents and, you know, we put on jeans and sneakers and,
well, you see it on the media, on King of the Hill or on Home Movies or on a few other of my favorite shows that have had Ren Faire episodes, people always get, or on Reno 911, they always show people like yelling at people for using modern technology. Is that the case?
No, a lot of times it's like, you know, I mean, at the Ren Faire, I use my cell phone to take credit card orders. Like, it's
and no one calls you
modern.
A witch?
No, nobody calls me a witch. We've had a couple of instances. The first year that I did the show that I'm doing right now, the Kentucky Fair, we had such bad rainstorms that a car got stuck on site in the mud and we ended up having to like cover it with tarps and be like, there's nothing here. Nobody look at this.
That's funny.
Well, I have been spanked for slipping into inappropriate speech, but,
are you talking about around the house or at a Ren Faire? Baby?
At a Ren Faire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm on topic.
Well, I thought the topic was the cross pollination between Ren Faire, BDSM, and Linux programming.
I thought that was your other podcast, Michael.
The Anarchy Gumbos?
Yeah.
Actually, that any kink mentioned on there is just a very, very mild form of the long running podcast that was way more popular than even Freedom Fiends, that DJ and I used to do, called Submission and Coffee with Dalai Lama, where we would, each episode it was an audio podcast. I would have slappy sex with her, or sometimes her and another girl, and, you know, for about 10 minutes, and there'd be about 40 orgasms between the two or three of us. And then we'd talk about shoes and cats and dogs and politics for an hour.
I don't have a comeback to that.
No, I got nothing.
Yeah, we were the number one kink podcast on iTunes until iTunes kicked us off, because one of the keywords we used was marriage. And so we got a lot of times when people looked up Christian marriage podcasts, it would be, uh-oh, you may also be interested in. And the Christians turned us in and got us kicked off of iTunes.
Stinking Puritans.
I know. Puritans. So talk about Quakers and what they've done for society. They've done a few things related to law and prison reform. And
Quakers were the original female rights organization in Europe. They were the very first Christians that I'm aware of that recognized male and female as not having any, you know, there's no one greater or authority over the other. They were the first that I'm knowledgeable of. They were the first organization that acknowledged slavery as being evil. And they refused to do things like tip their hat or bow to royalty or governors or judges or whatever like that. How's
that
for a start?
That's very cool. But what have they done for me lately?
Not a lot. The Quakers have been fairly quiet. They, you know, it's a kind of a tragic thing. About 1800, the state, in essence, the state silenced them by partially adopting many of the things that they were pushing towards. And that appeasement sort of took the wind out of their sails by the mid-1800s.
That happened with the Mormons, too. I mean, the Mormons were, like, literally at war with guns with the federal government at one point. And,
yeah,
you know, now they're very, oh, we need to vote in Mormons.
Yeah. Yeah, Brigham Young actually made a bid towards the presidency. I can't remember the details on that, but they kind of reversed their direction.
Well, they also gave up the multiple wives to appease the federal government and get recognition and get the government off their butt some.
Yeah, that's without going into the theological aspect of that. That's really sad that they made that kind of a compromise.
And, you know, it's interesting that people who fight adamantly for gay rights, gay marriage, which, you know, I'm all for. I just don't think any marriage should be with the state. Of course, I think everyone at this table thinks that, this virtual mm-hmm. table.
Right.
But a lot of people who are adamantly for legal gay marriage laugh at and scoff at and hate the idea of multiple wives or husbands.
Yeah, very hypocritical. You know, really.
And those same people say, I should be able to marry anyone I want, you know, unless it's four other people of the opposite sex.
Or of the same sex.
Yeah.
Or a tree and a goat. You know, it's none of the government's business one way or the other.
You know, something that really bends the brain of a lot of really, really PC uber feminists is lesbian S&M domination. You know, like this, there's a breed of feminist woman who hates the idea of, like, you know, a man slapping a woman's ass and calling her dirty names in bed, but it really, they don't know what to do with when it's a woman doing it to a woman. I've read some essays on that and it's mind blowing.
Well, I think a lot of people just don't understand that the level of consent that's involved in a
shut up, baby. I'm talking. I'm kidding.
I waited until you were finished.
I'm kidding. Go ahead, baby. I love you.
I know you do. But that's smack. That's what they don't get is the consent. It's and it was something I was going to mention about slavery too. I mean, I believe that an individual has the right to decide what they want to do. And if it's to make themselves the chattel of someone else, that's fine. You know, hey, it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't make me have to have slaves or even necessarily want to declare that limit. That
I believe in a woman's right to choose to be a slave.
Yes. I believe in anybody's right.
And stick around. We have more Freedom Fiends Live with the Ben Quakers and the Kai Quakers, the Kai Vicks. Coming right up. Yeah.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to us? Liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market?
Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring place to live free? We chose Wyoming. Wyoming is the home of Free State Wyoming and the personal choice of Boston Tea Party, as well as the setting of his book, Moulin LaBaye. Bring the family and stop by for the 2012 Free State Wyoming Jamboree for 4 days of camping, shooting, and barbecue. There'll be trading, hiking, a raffle, and plenty of activities for the kids. Admission is free for those under 18. Entrance and 4 days camping is $15. It's only $15 more for the barbecue and beer on Saturday. Visit freestatewyoming.org. There's even a one-day handgun course led by Boston. The handgun course is extra. The Jamboree is June 28th through July 1st in the beautiful Black Hills of Wyoming. Join us to explore our favorite area of the country and see if our choice might become your choice. That's freestatewyoming.org. See you there.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths. At Vaporsmiths.com.
Hello.
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 We're having a transcontinental festival here. Orgy of voices.
Multi time zones.
Yes, with Ben and Kai from the Bad Quaker podcast and myself, Michael W. Dean, and my lovely wife and Robin Quivers here, Deborah Jean Dean, DJ. Hi, y'all.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
So the Boston Tea Party was not what I expected.
Let me get a call.
Great guy.
You thought he wouldn't be great? The live studio call-in number is 307-215-5171 or Skype to username kittyfeet1. So what did you expect he was going to be? Like some younger, angrier mall ninja?
Yes. No, why? Not mall ninja. But I actually, I had a horrible impression of him because I had originally been, and I had to, I apologize
before you met
to
him. Before this. You met him. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had to apologize to him because I was first told about him by a kind of a right-wing gun nut, and I just assumed he was a right-wing gun nut. And then I saw the picture of him, and I'm looking around, and I thought, okay, I'll just deal with this guy because he's a friend of Michael's, and I'll be nice. But then I talked to him, and he's a great guy, and he's really knowledgeable, and he's not a right-wing gun nut.
A lot of right-wing gun nuts like him, but he is not a right-wing gun nut. He – some of the stuff he wrote actually in some way helped inspire my thought of there needs to be a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. He does not do drugs. I don't do drugs, but there's stuff in his book, Moulin Labe, that's incredibly descriptive of the insanity of the drug war. And he's got some sort of like Nuremberg trials for drug warriors in there in a way. And I was like, wow, this guy's like kind of I'd never encountered anyone like him when I read his book, You and the Police. It was shortly after we bought guns because someone tried to break into our house while we were there in California. And I bought that book because it was, you know, users who like this gun book also read You and the Police by Boston Tea Party. And I read it and it was like, it was amazing to me because you could tell that the person writing it was kind of square. They weren't a hipster. They weren't a long hair. They weren't a drug user. But the whole book was about how to keep the cops out of your car and out of your life. And everything I'd read before about keeping the cops out of your life was written by people who are constantly breaking laws. And I'm like, okay, wait, this guy who's kind of square and it's cool and weird. And then in the book, he mentioned open carry. I'm like, what's open carry? And then I read the book and did some internet research. And then 4 hours later, woke my wife up early and said, we're moving to Wyoming, honey.
I was inspired. I wanted to move to Wyoming by the time I got done talking to him.
Yeah.
He's a great spokesman for the state.
Yeah.
May not be the one that the powers that be would choose.
Who are the powers that be? Oh, you mean the voters?
No, the people that let voters think that they're influencing.
You mean the U.S. attorney who is now our governor?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's hip.
Yeah, well, Wyoming seems to function quite well despite them.
It actually does. Whoever's greasing whatever palms, it's working here. Our economy is pretty good compared to most of the country.
But it gets cold there.
It gets cold and hot. It's 95 degrees here today, which is a little unseasonably warm, but it does get pretty warm here in the summer. It's not humid, though, like New Hampshire and Ohio. It's kind of a dry heat, which is kind of nice. But the winters are really cold, but they're pretty. And it's not quite as bad as, you know, I mean, we don't get stuck in the snow driving around town.
Yeah, it's cold, but it's dry so that – you know, you may have multiple layers on, but you're not shoveling your car out every morning to make it 2 feet down the street.
Yeah, I grew up about 4 hours away from you, from the bad Quakers in Westfield, New York.
Fiend phone.
And, you know, snow was fiend like something phone. That nearly killed fiend me
Fiend phone.
There.
Fiend phone.
Hello, what fiend is this on the fiend phone?
This is Kevin, first time caller.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing? Where are you calling from?
Eastern Seaboard, Maryland.
All right. What's up, Kevin?
Not too much. I got, is there a topic tonight, or?
Are you listening to the show?
No, actually.
Oh. It would be really funny if I hung up on you now, because you said that, but I'm not going to. Why aren't you listening to the show? What made you call into a show you're not listening to?
Oh, no, I've listened to other podcasts. I'm not listening to
it. Okay. I thought you were just like looking through the internet and like, oh, a live call-in show somewhere I can call Bug and talk about how great Romney is or something.
if it was one of those, I'd be more comfortable, you know, letting people know in which city I live. But
are there black helicopters looking for you? That's why you can't tell us?
Well, not entirely, but I did earlier in life, I had joined the Army, oddly enough, as a way to get the discipline to kind of control my drinking, and that didn't exactly work out, but I was, I know. I went to
AA, and I controlled my drinking, and I've been sober since 94, and I didn't have to shoot anybody, and it didn't cost the taxpayer anything. I just put a dollar in the basket every day.
Yeah, you know, and what's funny is, like, I actually, like, they wanted me out, not just out of military intelligence, but the whole thing. And I had actually gone through the interrogator course during the Abu Ghraib scandal, of all things.
Yo, Freedom Fiends Live, here with the Bad Quakers and Deborah Jean Dean. So, Ben Quaker.
Yeah.
People wonder why I call you Ben Quaker. It's because back in my punk rock days, you would generally address someone by their first name and the name of their band. And Bad Quaker is your band, so you're Ben Quaker. You know, I was Mikey Bomb back when I was in a band called Bomb. I don't like Mike, but I'll go by Mikey for some reason. So tell us about New Hampshire and Pork Fest and who got porked and how was the fest?
Yeah, actually, there was a giant pig roast at the end. That was yesterday?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Yeah. And by that, I don't
that
mean it was a
kind
giant
of cannibalistic
pig.
The pork's eating pork? Ooh.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
What I found really funny, and I'm going to kind of sort of make fun of Stefan Molyneux here.
Please. Stefan, please.
Stefan Molyneux had this event where it was the fan barbecue with Stefan Molyneux, and I had signed up to pre-register to go, and so I went down there when it was time, and they were serving... Yeah, in the local parlance, gyros and gyros and like salad, like Greek salad and baklava. And I was looking at it going, I don't know what kind of barbecues they have in Canada, but here in America, it's not a barbecue if you can't put barbecue sauce on it.
Yeah, it was billed as a barbecue. And you know, maybe because they speak a foreign language up there in Canada. So yeah. Maybe there was a translation problem.
Do you get to the shoreline there? You know, New Hampshire does have 18 miles of it. That was one of the selling points I remember of, like, when they were, you know, back in 2003 or something, when they were arguing over which state to have the Free State Project. And it was, they had a short list of 10 and they voted. And it was like New Hampshire came in first and Wyoming came in a close second. And some people just said, well, I'm going to Wyoming anyway. And that's how Free State Wyoming started. But one of the selling points of New Hampshire was something like, you know, if it seceded, we could have, you know, international commerce and trade because we have a shoreline. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, Malibu, California has a longer shoreline than the state of New
22
Hampshire.
22 miles.
Yeah. Plus, you know, can you really count it as a shoreline? I mean, it's the Atlantic Ocean. It barely qualifies as an ocean.
Isn't that just a big river?
I'm pretty sure it is. A big, dirty river.
I started to say a big, dirty river.
It's part of the Thames, isn't it? It's the outlet of the Thames.
Oh, my.
Oh, yours.
Now that we've made everyone on the East Coast mad at us.
I'm from the East Coast. I can make fun of it.
I'm a native West Coaster, so... Yeah, that's how I grew up.
Was making fun of the East Coast?
Yeah, that's how we rolled.
That's how we rolled.
Well, you know.
In Manhattan Beach, California.
It used to be L.A. versus New York. I mean, when I was a kid.
Well, that's what all the pod beefs are, is L.A. versus New York. But I mean, all the rap beefs. But, you know, podcasting is more international. So pod beefs can go in any direction. I try to start them as much as I can. You got any more pod beef there from the fest?
No, Breakers? You know, I cornered Stefan Molyneux. And said, hey, how about you coming over to my...
a duel? Do you have a duel?
Yeah.
Actually, we sort of sicked a bunch of fans on him, and they kept handing him our business cards and telling him that he needed to come do an interview with my dad. And eventually, he and Stefan met, and Stefan was like, people keep telling me about you.
Yes, but he was really nice. He came over to the motorhome, and we had a mobile studio set up with a lot of outdoorsy, you know, things. And he sat there, and we had a real nice talk.
Nice. Did you go shooting with him?
No, I didn't get to go shooting at all. My other daughter, not Kai, but my other daughter and her boyfriend went shooting. I had commitments back at the camp.
Were you treated like a rock star there?
To a certain extent, yeah. Kai got recognized. I got recognized.
That
was weird.
So weird.
That bugs you guys, huh?
People came. Are you sitting down? People came to Porkfest. At least one person I know of came to Porkfest specifically to see the Bad Quaker, to see us.
Did they work for DHS?
No. it was a person from Vermont that drove like 40 miles, left work. After work, drove 40 miles, got to Porkfest. Wow. And then we sat around the camper and talked for like 3 hours. It was great. He was an unbelievably interesting person. Has a little farm, raises fish. It was great.
Fish.
Yeah, it was very weird for me to have, because I haven't been on the podcast for months. And so it was very weird for me to just be walking around and have people go, hey, I recognize your voice. Are you Kai Vick? Yeah. Okay. Why? Who's asking? Are you from the government? You have to tell me if you are.
I saw it on, what's the name of it? I saw it on Breaking Bad. You have to tell me if you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? It's in the Constitution. If you're a cop, you have to tell me. I love Breaking Bad.
Constitution. Man.
I love Breaking Bad.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's pretty much the best TV ever made. So, if I'd been there, I would not be Twitter-pated by the onslaught of popularity like you guys are. I'd be like, yes, drink it in. I am a god.
And I'd be hiding.
But I was in a fairly popular rock band for about 10 years that toured America and Europe. And, you know, I mean, there was a time in San Francisco when I would walk down the street and a pretty girl would walk up to me and go, you're the singer in Bomb. And I'd say, yes, I am, Missy. And 10 minutes later, we'd be screwing at my house. So, I mean, that's where I come from.
Tell about riding around L.A. with the drummer from Flaming Lips.
Oh, and the singer from Perry Farrell from Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was scoring heroin for Perry Farrell and being driven around San Francisco in a big rider truck, equipment truck, rental truck by the drummer in the Flaming Lips. And we only drove about 7 blocks. He was driving me from the hotel to the venue where someone was going to drive me back to get the heroin. And we're driving through like this shitty non-hip neighborhood, the Tenderloin, which is like, you know, Skid Row. And about every block, 2 or 3 women would recognize Perry and wave at him. And, you know, I knew he'd played there a lot before. And I was like, oh, after about 3 or 4 blocks, I was like, do you know those girls? And he's like, Perry said, nah, chicks just dig me, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. I would say that was a brush with greatness, but considering the popularity of Michael Dean, that's just another day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's also, you know, I thought
inflate him.
I thought I was pretty cool because I sold heroin to Perry Farrell, and I was bragging about it to some other hipster dude one time back when we were in that world. And my friend said, did he bring his gun and set it on the table? And I was like, no. And he said he did when I sold him heroin. You know, that's a kind of like weird drug dealer thing that I guess happens. I mean, I've seen it in movies, and this guy said it happened with Perry, or drug buy things is like taking your gun and setting it on the table, which is incredibly bad form because you're handing the other guy a gun, you know?
Yeah.
Your gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Except, yeah. You know, unless they're, you don't do it if the people are really dangerous. And yeah. If not, they're all too scared to touch it. And it's just a, look, my dick's bigger than it's yours.
It's just laying your dick on the table. I know.
Yeah, it never impressed me. It just like, ugh, really?
People get upset. I get upset when non-gun people say, you know, a gun is a penis substitute. But we just made a penis gun joke. But in that case, it really is kind of sticking your dick on the table.
Well, it is. And I maintain that, you know, people that do that aren't truly gun people. They're people with guns.
Yeah. If toe up drug person, you know, kind of like scumbag ever pulled a gun on me, if they had the drop on me, I would pull out my gun and shoot. And a lot of people say that is not wise. You just give them what they want. But I would bet the odds on someone like that, who's not a gun person, that their gun is either not well maintained, may jam. They may pull the gun to one side and miss you. They may be slow to pull the trigger, or they just forgot to load it. I would take those chances.
Yeah, the odds are, you know, most criminal thugs that you think of are not marksmen. They bought a gun. They may not know how to load it, and they certainly don't know how to aim it.
Yeah, they just assume that if they point it at somebody, the person will do whatever they want. I would assume that half the time when people pull guns on people in crimes, the guns are not loaded.
Because have you ever seen anybody like that at a range? I have never seen anyone.
Oh,
you
know, we used to shoot next to gangbangers in L.A. They go to the range there, and they can shoot, too.
You haven't lived.
Really? But I'm thinking about Breaking Bad when the kid gets the gun, and he's trying to open the revolver to load it, and he can't get it open.
Hey, we're out.
Tired of that same old government-free...
Which is tight. She was going to call in. She hasn't yet, but...
I'm going to start recording, because this is just so good. Yeah. So I was saying, look for that girl there. She's the really pretty, really plump girl that was at Porkfest. And what did Kai say?
Oh, I said, that's like saying that's the one guy with the long hair and the beard.
Yeah. So we're recording.
We get that at Ren Faire a lot. Oh, have you seen this guy? What's he look like? Oh, he's got long hair and he's wearing a kilt. You're going to have to be more specific.
Kilt. What do you think of utility kilts?
A lot of.
I love utility kilts. I bullied my husband into getting one.
Aren't they considered like kind of poserish by some Ren Faire people?
I don't know. I mean, not the Rennies who are actual road Rennies and do it for a living and don't really care about anything having to do with, you know, historical accuracy, but I suppose the people who are, you know, just locals and do one fair and are super.
Well, what about those ones that are like, there are letters that stand for their organization that are super hyper.
Oh, sensitive. the Skadians.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. The SCA. They're not jobs.
Are you part of the creative anachronism?
No. I am not. I'm not.
Freaked out by them.
Those are the kind of people that come into my booth and they're like, well, these clothing are very historical accurate, but you know, these wooden hangers don't really, they're not made just specific. And I'm like, get out of my booth. Just get out. I don't want you here.
That exists in kink too. What do you call that in kink? I don't care if we're coming back. What do you call that in kink, DJ? Protocol Queens?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we back?
We are back.
We could possibly be back. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back. I don't know. We're just talking. We're just some people talking around a big virtual table that spreads from Wyoming to Keene, New Hampshire. Yeah.
And the lovely town of Keene.
The lovely town. Talk about Keene. I've never been to Keene. I've actually summered in New Hampshire. I spent part of a month of summer there for about 5 years in a row when I was a teenager because my sister lived there.
This is our first time in Keene, and we came in breaking the speed limit and illegally changing lanes as quickly as possible.
What anarchists do? Don't anarchists just drive around speeding, yelling, fuck the man with their finger out the window, blasting hip-hop and shooting guns.
Breaking
and
windows.
Yes.
Yeah. Having orgies and smoking weed in their car while they're driving.
And wearing black bandanas.
Yes, absolutely. And as we drove down the street... As we drove down the street going, I wonder which one is the LRN headquarters. We saw the house with just absolute banners everywhere, yeah. anarchy signs.
Fiend phone.
And it was like, oh, it's that one.
Fiend phone.
Fiend phone.
Hang on a sec, Fiend. That kind of reminds me of when I was a punk rocker, 19 years old in Washington, D.C., and I was making my pilgrimage to Discord House, which was where Ian MacKay lived and where the record label, Discord Records, was run, which was kind of the equivalent of Ian's house in that scene back then, you know, the place where everyone hung out and everything happened. And it's in Arlington, Virginia, about 2 miles from the Pentagon, in this really suburban neighborhood. And I was wearing, you know, army fatigues and parachute boots and a ripped up t-shirt and had a shaved head. And I was walking around and I was standing by the 7-Eleven and I was kind of looking around and checking a piece of paper, looking at the address. And this really square soccer mom kind of lady walked up to me and said, oh, they live 2 blocks down that way. You know, nice. she was used to the people looking for the Mecca, the punk rock Mecca. So who's the Fiend?
Mr. Abstracto.
Hey, man. Yeah, you just wrote me and you said, I'm missing Nima, but damn, this is a good show.
It really is.
And someone else just said to me, Michael, you just admitted to selling heroin to somebody. Is that really smart to talk about on the radio? Well, first of all, you know, like all great rappers, half of what I do is made up bravado. And the other thing is, we're talking like 1990 in San Francisco. I mean, Is it possible? I don't know. What's our legal counsel say there?
You can't be looking at me.
You can't be looking at me. I believe that there is a statute of limitations with drug sales, I would imagine. And, you know, I just lie 24/7 anyway. I make everything up. I'm a boring hermit who sits in my house and have my whole life, man. I've never even been out of the Wyoming.
I have unwrapped foil packages of hashish bricks the size of your head.
When you were working for General Electric, was that one of the programs of bringing good things to life?
No. I got pulled over by the cops one time. I had literally a briefcase full of cocaine, and I had license plate light that was out. I got pulled over. They measured my tires, had me sound my horn. It was unbelievable. They didn't find the.
That's one of the first page. One of the first pages in You and the Police in Boston by Boston Tea Party is make sure that your taillights aren't out.
Good advice.
What's up, Mr. Abstracto?
I wanted to call in to rail on the Libertarian Party. I heard there was some crap talking earlier.
Yeah, Gary Johnson's a litter bug and but wakes people up in the middle of the night to spam them.
And it actually wasn't Gary. He wasn't.
I think
there,
that's going to be the name of this episode is Gary Johnson is a litter bug with Ben Quaker. So go ahead. You got something to say about him?
I've just grown so disillusioned with him. I mean, they were how I kind of started my path to liberty. And I mean, I remember you talking about you were flipping through the channels back in 2008 or something. You saw the Libertarian Convention when they elected Bob Barr to run. When I split from the party. I quit the party at that point.
Instead of Mary Ruart, who is always at Porkfest, was Mary Ruart there? Did you talk to her, Ben?
I did not. Kai? I didn't see her.
No,
she's a perennial at that. And she was railing on national TV saying, Bob Barr is not a libertarian. This is horrible. And I didn't know. And I voted for Bob Barr. That was the last time I voted. I voted for Bob Barr.
What does Mary look like?
Oh, I don't know. 60, pretty, blonde, blondish hair, kind of, you know, Grand Milfy. I'm hitting on Mary Ruart.
No, I think I realize who I'm talking about now.
Soccer momish, soccer grandma. Yeah.
Yeah. She was there.
Yeah.
I'm attracted to Mary Ruart.
I stayed on their mailing list, and some of the stuff that they sent me, I mean, the header is the party of principle, and then the topic of the email was how voting is the most important right we have as Americans, and I was just shaking my head. And then they sent me another
That's
one saying
so
that they
square.
Supported legalization of marijuana, but it should be regulated like wine. And I'm like, if you're the party of principle, you should go for legalizing marijuana and deregulating wine.
Well, that's, you know, Ben, what's your comment to that, Ben, about they vote? You still vote? That is so cute. I used to do that before you were born.
Ben, the last time I voted was 2008, and it was just to vote for someone other than Bob Barr. I voted, I think, the Objectivist party that year.
I
voted for the Objectivist party.
I took my little I voted sticker and stuck it on my shotgun. I think it's still there.
I'm an anarchil purist. I've never voted.
An anarchilt?
Yeah, an anarchil.
Anarchil. So, Ben, you voted. Weren't you part of the Libertarian Party in 1946?
Yeah, when Rothbard was a young man.
When Ayn Rand was running for the Orange County Controller's Office.
I told that little snot nose less than you.
So, no, weren't you involved with the Libertarian Party in the 70s or 80s?
In the 70s, I was, and in the crossover between the Libertarian Party and the normal people, I was going door to door, getting signatures and spreading the word. And then in 88, then I fell away, and I totally bought the Ronald Reagan story. But yeah. By 88, oh, yeah. I thought, you know, this guy, I literally tore up my Republican card and registered as a Libertarian, voted for Ron Paul.
DJ's dad went door to door for Barry Goldwater in 64. And when Goldwater lost, he got really disillusioned. And now he still goes down and votes every year and writes in Mickey Mouse. Okay, how is there dead air with five dead. People, these five people dead. Talking?
I'm trying to be polite.
Oh, bash the Libertarian Party more. Fill some time, man.
Oh man, it's just too much to get. I just want everyone to know that there is more to libertarianism than the Libertarian Party of America.
A lot of people don't know that. You know, my first encounter with the word libertarian was when I was 18 and I was in college, and there was a card table set up in the student union at Jamestown Community College in Jamestown, New York, and they were handing out libertarian literature, and I went over and looked at it, and they started talking to me, and they were talking about legalizing marijuana, and they were so weird and religious about it that even though I smoked marijuana, I was like, you people are creepy, and I kept walking.
Real libertarians don't vote.
That's true.
And we're going to be back in just a minute with more live Freedom Fiends.
Yeah. We're going to keep Derek on, though, and talk to him for the break. Oh, I said break. Damn it. Ian's gonna find me an ounce of silver.
Momentary program pause.
Yes. So, Derek, libertarians and the people that love them. Libertarian Party members and the idiots who love them. That's the topic today on Oprah.
You write a whole book on that.
I almost feel like dirty anytime I'm referred to as a libertarian. I'm almost like, oh no, I'm not one of No.
Well, I'm still anarchist. Looking for the right anarchist. Word. I'm still looking for the right word, and Nima and I have devoted part of several casts.
It is libertarian. We need to take that word back, that libertarian is the opposite of authoritarian.
Well, the most accurate thing I could say is I'm a libertarian and an anarchist, or a libertarian anarchist, or an anarcho-capitalist, but all of those words are so radioactive, okay? Like, libertarian, probably the least of all of them, but they think you're a member of the Libertarian Party. Anarchist, they think you blow shit up and or you're a lefty. Capitalist, they think, you know, you want to have children working in private industry brothels.
I've given up on the word capitalism.
Yeah. Voluntarist sounds like you work for, you know, building houses for the poor for Jimmy Carter.
The fire department.
Agorist just sounds like sticky or like a farmer. I don't have the word for it. We had a contest on Freedom Fiends. We're going to give away a copy of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, if anybody could come up with a better name that doesn't require explanation. But the best I've come up with so far is I'm a leave me alone guy.
Independent human.
Independent human. But independent human is a word that would also be used by some voter in San Francisco. I know it. I've probably seen it, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, San Francisco, we just have to forget that exists.
I say that word like I say fish. San Francisco. I lived there for 16 years, man. Yeah, I lived there for 16 years, and I'll say this. If they had a big gay dance party in San Francisco and a bunch of straight people showed up in drag, they would either be raped over the pool table or thrown the fuck out.
Oh, definitely.
Not saying that anyone did anything wrong in New Hampshire, but I guess they do it in different New Hampshire. But I've spent a lot of time in gay bars, like hardcore biker gay bars, and in the gay community, and played in gay clubs in San Francisco. And they most of those people would think you were making fun of them if you were straight and showed up wearing a dress. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, the only time I've ever actively felt like I was unsafe as a female was when I accidentally wandered on Halloween into the gay quarter of New Orleans down on the far end of Bourbon Street. And there were all of these like huge gay biker dudes standing there looking at me like, what do you think you're doing here? You do not belong here, female. Get out. And I was like, I'm lost.
I remember one time in San Francisco when I was on heroin with my girlfriend at the time, who was tall and blonde, and we both dressed up for Halloween like zombies. This is back before zombies were cool. This is in about 89. And she, you know, I wore an old suit and she was wearing like an old like bridesmaid's dress, and we covered them with talcum powder so they looked like grave dust. And she did our makeup and, you know, black lips and white face. And we were walking around the Castro, the gay section of San Francisco, which has a big, huge street party every Halloween. And we were walking around with our arms sticking out going, brains, brains. And some gay guy pointed at us and said to his friend, look, it's two blondes looking for brains.
Bump. Michael exactly. will be here all week.
It was true though. That happened.
So is anyone gonna be back in time for a Wednesday cast?
Wednesday cast was pre-recorded 2 weeks ago, so no. He'll be back next Sunday. Cool. And actually the Wednesday cast we pre-recorded 2 weeks ago, I accidentally released it for 4 hours and then unreleased it and released the proper one. I've never done that before.
Maybe that's why my podcatcher had the long description for last week.
Yeah, it was the one that was the Free Jillian. Was it Free Jillian, that one?
Yeah, the Free Jillian one. It had a bunch. It's talking about, I was like, I don't remember them talking about any of this stuff.
Yeah, well, then you should go back and re-record the Free Jillian one, because you heard the one that's going to come out next week. The one that's up now for Free Jillian is the proper Free Jillian one. Yeah, we had a little, here on Freedom Fiends, we had a little snafu last week. His name is traveling. He's not on today, and he won't be here Wednesday. He'll be back next Sunday. But we pre-recorded the cast for next Wednesday last week. So, and I accidentally re-released the one for next week last week for about 6 hours until I listened to it and discovered it. So, if you listened to the Free Jillian episode last week and you got it in the afternoon or early evening of Wednesday, you got the wrong one, and you're going to get that again next week. So you should go back and re-download the Free Jillian one that's up now, which is the proper one from last week. If you heard a cast called Free Jillian that didn't mention Jillian, you should go back and download it.
I was listening to it, wondering when you were going to get to that part.
Like, yep.
We're going to talk about that.
We're back, and we're going to have more callers here. Do you have any closing comments there, Mr. Abstracto?
The only thing I have to say is I'm very happy to hear you and Ben on the show, on one show together. When I first started listening to the Freedom Fiends, the same day I found Bad Quaker. So it's kind of awesome to hear both at the same time.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks. All right. Worms, man. Take care.
Well, I'll let you go.
Worms. So, Kai, Ben, DJ, how you doing?
Doing just good.
Fine. All right.
Yeah, you know, I don't traffic.
Even, I'm like, somebody sent me this thing, like asking, like, are you going to get in trouble because you mentioned heroin, selling heroin 27 years ago? Well, it was medical heroin.
Fiend phone.
All, San Francisco.
Fiend phone.
I had the medical medical
fiend
heroin.
Fiend phone.
Medical heroin permit.
Damn. Fiend phone.
Fiend phone.
Fiend? Hello, Fiend. What Fiend is this?
This is Jeremy from Northeast Ohio.
Hi, Jeremy. How? What can we do for you today?
Since Matt Quaker's on, is there any way you could help him get his podcast on Stitcher? That's like my main way of listening, and I don't have Apple devices.
Hey, Ben, get your podcast on Stitcher.
Hey, we just signed up for that right before we took off for New Hampshire. So the very next one that we post.
Oh, good.
I think it's all arranged, should be on Stitcher. Okay. And with any luck, we'll be posting the interview with Boston Tea Party later this evening, so that should go up.
You should, Ben, you should put a Stitcher link and image on your site. We get probably about 10% of our traffic from Stitcher. And you mentioned recently this thing, podcast.de, this German podcast directory. We've literally had a 50% bump in downloads. We've gone from like 10 gigs a day to like 15 gigs a day, and it's all coming from podcast.de. So thank you, wonderful Germans.
Yes, we love the Germans.
Yeah,
they had some flyer thing that we found at the Pork Fest that was making fun of something in Europe, and it was all about Germany, and it had all these German people like that were clearly famous in Germany, and we kind of passed it around going, does anyone know who any of these people are? And nobody did.
It was obviously a very funny cartoon and very funny humor, but none of us got it.
Was it
all
German?
About Germany.
I remember when I was in Germany, the first day I was there, someone told me a joke. And then they told a joke in Germany, everyone laughed. And I said, can you translate that for me? And the guy was not fucking with me. And here was his translation was, two bums are sitting in a park. And it starts to snow, and the one bum says to the other bum, I wish each of these snowflakes was a Deutschmark. And that was the joke. And I'm like, that doesn't really translate, man.
No. Also, I was going to say, I had a Baptist guy walk around my neighborhood, and he knocked on my door this week to try to get me to go to his church. And I'm not Christian. My wife is. I'm just not into it. And I had a long discussion about him about morality, and it just doesn't seem like like a lot of the fundamentalists get it. You know, they just are into what they're being told. I think that's a pretty big drawback for withholding some of the people getting the message out.
Well, I think a lot of religion operates on the quashing the individual thought and buy into our thought. You know, lot of organized religion, that doesn't really surprise me. My way, in California, we used to get a lot of door knockers from Jehovah's Witnesses, not so many Mormons, but a lot of odd sects. And my usual response was, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm a druid. and it really used to bend their brain. You know? Well, can you explain that? Well, you see that oak tree over there? That's where I go to church. And
so back to the question of why do I talk about that I sold heroin once when I say on the podcast? That really just kind of tweaked my mind. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I should think about things like that. But I don't. Here's what I came up with was if that were a problem, Jerry Stahl would be in prison. Jerry Stahl is a famous writer, TV writer, wrote on Elf, writes on CSI, wrote that new Hemingway movie that just came out that's great. His first novel was called Permanent Midnight, and it's an autobiography about him being a heroin addict while writing for Elf. And it was made into a major motion picture.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Where Ben Stiller plays him. So,
doesn't it?
You know, and there's talk of buying and selling in that book. So it's, you know, those people would be in prison. You know, Grandpa Burroughs would have been in prison. He was writing about the joys of being a junkie while he was still a junkie. He was a junkie when he died at 87 or something, you know? So now I ain't worried about it.
I wouldn't be too concerned. I wouldn't be too concerned. You could always just say you lied.
I do lie. I said that. I lie all the time, man.
like a rug.
I don't. And not only that.
I don't either.
That,
I'm ethical, man.
That briefcase of Coke was there.
Well, it was when you were working for General Electric. So I wanted to talk about this movie I saw yesterday. What was the movie called? Batteries Not Included, which is a movie Spielberg produced, 1987 family sci-fi movie, kind of like E.T. Although it's interesting that it says family sci-fi movie, and it does have one long shot of a painting of a naked pregnant woman, which I'm like, how did that get in a family movie? But the movie
that's
is
more
about
like a Disney.
Well,
that's
how
more
do
like
you think
Disney
families
trick.
Get started?
There you go.
Yes, but mostly they don't admit that.
Yeah, that's a good line. You can't show pregnant women in a family movie. Wait, what? That's how families get started. But the movie is about literally about friendly drones that come to this tenement. That's, you know, basically it's like the old plot you've seen a million movies of, you know, like Save Grandma's Farm, basically. But instead of a farm, it's a tenement building in New York, and there's some elderly people that live there, and, you know, some horrible capitalist wants to knock it down and put up office space. So these drones that are about a foot in diameter, it's a male and female drone, and then later they have babies and produce three little baby drones. come in and start helping the family. I mean, they like, you know, they keep the thugs out that are trying to throw them out for the landlord. They repair things that the thugs break. They bring coffee, you know, they protect them from tyranny. And there's a line in this movie, it's total General Electric product placement. One of the characters, when the drones, when they finally realize they're friendly, he looks at them and says, "We bring good things to life," which was General Electric's motto for a billion years and probably still is. Is it still their motto, Ben?
As far as I know.
I think this was a movie produced by the government in cooperation. Okay, this is just conspiratorial bullshit, but I think that this movie was maybe produced by the government with General Electric in 1987 to help do a public relations policy for the drones they were going to roll out now to make people like them and think they're friendly and helpful and they'll bring you your coffee and protect you from tyranny.
Raise the children right.
Yeah.
They're coming for you.
Yeah. But it was
all right. I don't have much else. I'll open the line for somebody else.
All right. Thanks for calling in, man. Worms.
All right. No problem. Bye.
Worms.
Hey, Kai had to step away just for a minute, so I'll have to talk twice as much.
All right. Go ahead. Talk. I'm tired. Tired of talking. No, I'm not tired. I can talk all day, man. What you got there, Ben?
You know, I got to go back to Porkfest. It just blew me away. There was so much going on. It was like every minute there was something going on that you could get involved with. It was really great. We're gonna have to go to. We're gonna have to go away for a moment.
We have to pay our electric bill here with our advertisers and our fine products and services that they provide. This is the Central Scrutinizer.
Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring place to live free?
Back here on Freedom Fiends Live. We're going to devote the last segment of this to talk about Gary Johnson. Now, when you type in Gary Johnson and the letter L, it autofills on Google, Gary Johnson Libertarian. I think it should autofill to Gary Johnson Litterbug. Now, how can we make that happen?
I think if you spam Google enough, it will change it. Like, well, if that worked people with the, type it in.
The Santorum thing, that worked.
Yeah. How did they do that?
Yeah.
I think they made like a Wikipedia page and then made it get like thousands of hits or something.
No, it was a really well-known guy who has a lot of followers on his newspaper article column, asked people to put Santorum definition, a frothy fecal mass that comes out of the anus after anal sex, a mixture of semen and anal juices. He asked thousands of people to put that on their blogs and everywhere they could. And it just tricked Google into thinking that. That's one of the reasons Santorum wants to censor the internet, I think.
That's brilliant, though.
If you search the word Santorum, the first thing that comes up is the Wikipedia article called Campaign for Santorum Neologalism, which is about how they did that. That's the first thing that comes up now.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should study that, get some programmers involved and many bloggers, and make it so when you type Gary Johnson, the first thing that comes up is Litterbug on Google.
There was a Gary Johnson interview not long ago with a prominent economist whose name escapes me.
Escapes.
Sorry. Yeah, what did I say?
Escapes.
Oh.
I have to ask you not to talk that way. I'm kidding. You can do what you want, man. I'm a fucking Nazi when it comes to that stuff.
That's okay. Ask him to pronounce supposedly.
Pronounce supposedly.
You know, anyway, in this interview with Gary Johnson.
Library. It's pronounced library.
I don't want to say specifically.
Okay, go ahead. Gary Johnson interview.
Gary Johnson did this. Bob Wenzel. There we go. Bob Wenzel. Gary Johnson did an interview with Bob Wenzel. And if you haven't heard that interview, Google Gary Johnson, Bob Wenzel. Tell all your friends, tell everybody you know, Google Gary Johnson, Bob Wenzel. Gary Johnson lies in the interview. He openly lies, then he admits that he lies. I have no use for the man.
The first, if you Google them, the first thing that comes up is an article called How Libertarian is Gary Johnson? Yeah.
Not very.
Or better yet.
As long as it's politically expedient, he's a libertarian.
He also the only thing he said in the Republican debates before he got kicked out, this is maybe why he got kicked out, but probably not. He told a joke that was fucking funny. And I was like, right on, man. And it turns out that he stole that joke from Rush Limbaugh. Like Rush had told it like 2 weeks earlier on his show. And like, you know, if you're going to steal from anyone, Rush Limbaugh, really?
Yeah.
It was a joke. It was basically, he was talking about Obama's shovel ready projects. And he said, my neighbor's dog have produced more shovel ready projects than Obama.
Yeah. Plagiarism is, you know, I don't know. It's rude. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But I changed my mind, Michael.
It's rude, but you know, it's also silly to call things plagiarism that aren't, like the L. Neil Smith haranguing Ian Freeman about something that was not plagiarism, and then like saying like I'm referring this to my lawyer, and I'm like, really? The king libertarian is going to talk to his lawyer about what he can do about this? And it wasn't plagiarism. It was like, you know, taking something and building on it on the shoulders of giants and building something else. And
I thought we were slamming Gary Johnson. L. Neil Smith is a different libertarian. Are we just randomly picking out libertarians?
Pod beef, mofo. Pod beef does good for your SEO. You know that?
Let's go back to Bob Barr. He's easy to hit.
Yeah. He's a fucking drug warrior Nazi who hated gay marriage.
Former CIA
who one day decided, you know, my term in Congress is going to be up or Senate or whatever, and no one's paying attention to me. I think I'll pretend to be libertarian. That's the impression I get. I don't know that, but
I like to call them Decepticons.
Yeah.
I said something stupid a minute ago.
They're Republicans in disguise pretending to be libertarians.
I said something stupid a moment ago, and what I said was Google Gary Johnson and Bob Wenzel. Now, why would I say something that dumb? Google Gary Johnson bad Quaker. Okay. Exit out of whatever you're in and Google Gary Johnson bad Quaker.
And the first thing that comes up is list of psychotherapists in the Friends Counseling Service, which is nothing to do with either of you, but apparently there's a Quaker shrink named Gary Johnson.
Oh, no.
Oh, but the second thing that comes up is the thing you're talking about. Yeah. Okay. Your bad Quaker thing. Yeah. Your bad Quaker thing. Yeah. That thing.
That little thing.
That wonderful thing, man. I listen to you more than I listen to any other podcast except my podcasts.
Well, that's nice, Michael. I listen to you more than I listen to anyone else either.
You know, when you search Gary Johnson and Bad Quaker, for some reason, the fourth thing that comes up is the Steppenwolf article on Wikipedia, the band Steppenwolf.
Now that's odd.
Oh, I spelled bat. It said Bass Quaker.
Oh, sorry. Okay. It's Bad the Quaker. Bass Quaker.
You're the first thing.
Legendary first thing. Fisherman, the Bass Quaker.
Yes. Yes. Catch and release.
At least you didn't spell it Bad Quacker.
Yeah, we get that's one of our real common search, you know, in your statistics that you get. That's one of the real common searches is Bad Quacker. That leads it to us.
How often do people say bad Quaker? Wait, I thought Quakers weren't allowed to use electricity.
Pretty common. That's a common misconception. People confuse Quakers with Amish pretty regularly.
It's the clothing style. It's the fashion statement.
Or the fact that I constantly walk around going thee and thou and speaking in German.
Do you?
No. But oftentimes Amish speak in, right. They speak in German.
They speak in like
well, I don't know if it's German. True German.
It's not.
Yeah, it's to like, German what like Cajun is to French, I think.
Yeah.
You know the difference between a dialect and a language? A language is a dialect with an army.
What is it? What's your statement about English?
Oh, English. English doesn't borrow from other languages. It sneaks up behind them in dark alleys, clubs them over their heads, and rifles through their pockets for loose grammar.
And when they wake up, they're in a bathtub of ice and a scar on their side.
Yeah.
And their consonants are missing.
Now that's Polynesian.
So have you heard from Nima at all?
Yeah, I got an email from him last night. He was just leaving the Grand Canyon and he's had a great time.
Wow. Why would you ever want to leave the Grand Canyon? It's such a grand canyon.
He did have some like run-in with armed Fed goons there or at some state park that, you know, he survived and we'll talk about on a future cast. He was like, you know, texting to my email like, I didn't get all the details. It wasn't much.
Disclosure, I just plagiarized Homer Simpson.
What'd you say?
The Grand Canyon. What a Grand Canyon.
Who controls the British pound? Who keeps the metric system down?
We do. We do. Oh, no, they're listening.
The central scrutinizer.
Yes. So how close are they to finishing their central scrutinizer main headquarters in the Utah desert?
I don't know. They haven't kicked in my door yet, so probably not done. Although I imagine it's not like they're going to finish every part of that complex before they put people in chairs in it, you know?
Right. They don't need to kick in your door anymore. They can just drive by outside and scan through your house and see everything.
Yeah.
I read it on Google. I read it on the internet, so I know it's true.
I'm bugging my own house right now. I don't say anything on the podcast that I wouldn't say when Mike's not on, really. So,
and since we talked about what we talked about earlier, let's just make sure that it's clear that right now you don't break laws, do you?
Well, I said that last night when I interviewed a lawyer who happens to be an anarchist, which is going to come out this Saturday on Anarchy Gumbo podcast. And it's a great interview with this guy named Randy English. But I said, yeah, I don't break any laws, you know, and he's like, don't be so sure, you know, and he was talking about the three felonies a day book
right,
or that concept. Right. But, you know, I don't break any of the laws that liberty people are always busted for. I don't do drugs. I don't have any illegal weapons and I pay my taxes. Literally, those are the three things that every, you know, popular liberty person that's ever been thrown in jail for anything, you know, that and not taking off your hat in court, I guess.
So that disclaimer at the end of guns and weed is absolutely true.
Is Ian in the room?
No, he is not.
I want to ask him if he thinks that the Bearcat exists for knocking down his house someday.
Hmm.
And that's not a joke and it's not a, you know, any kind of bad juju saying it. It just hit me the other day. Like, is that why they have the Bearcat? I was looking at the video of the fire marshals raiding his house and I was like, is that why they have the Bearcat?
I doubt that they're that bright. I think it was just the opportunity to buy a nifty toy.
Yeah, they buy those everywhere. Somebody recently told me, like, you know, they talked to someone in their town, like, why'd you guys get that? And they're like, free federal money. You know, some state official, town official said that. Hey, those guys like toys. Yeah.
The time has come to say goodbye to all our family.
I'm so glad we had this time together.
This is the end of our podcast.
This is the end.
Beautiful.
I've been told no.
All right.
In many different
ways. Tired of the false economy? Want to carry real money in a form that people will dig getting? Don't Tread on Meme now has Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed Silver Dime cards. Collect all four. Trade them with your friends. Freedom Fiends Silver Dime cards are also great for starting conversations with statists about liberty. Go to freedomfiends.com today and click the link at the top that says Silver Dime Cards. That's freedomfiends.com.